You know, the best thing about having a radio show on Friday night at 5 o'clock is you get to go on the radio and say, it's 5 o'clock on Friday.
Whee, happy hour. Happy hour.
It's an awesome thing to celebrate. We made it through another week, folks. Congratulations. Whether you're driving home or resting comfortably.
Best time of the day of the week.
Thank you for joining us. It's time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHBC. I'm your host, Tom Ryan. My lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well, manning the board for us as we run through another in our How Music Changed series, which we are calling Radio Days, working our way through the history of pop songs that helped make radio famous and vice versa. Radio helped make the songs famous. From the years 1920 up to 1954, we're going to stop just before the rock and roll era. This is part five, and we are smack dab in the middle of the 30s. It's an interesting time right now because, well, if you think about it in terms of just concrete history, by the 1930s, radio's popularity had progressed so far that it remained a pinnacle of entertainment, even as motion pictures started to dominate pop culture. Radio and the movies worked hand in hand at this point in time, with musicals popularizing radio songs and radio airplay popularizing the films that contain the songs. So by this time, a significant level of sophistication became a primary ingredient in popular music. If you go back to the pop songs that predated with this show before 1920, we've done series on them, the very first beginnings of recorded music. The songs were incredibly crude and weird and poorly recorded and such. So that's changed by now. But everything now has got a level of sophistication to it. And the simple light fare of the previous decade all but evaporates around this point in time as jazz starts to morph into big band swing. This is like the first, it's right around this point in time when songwriters, popular songwriters, start to treat their work as an art form. It was at this stage that pop music became so nuanced that it grew into what we now look back on and refer to as the Great American Songbook. So most of the songs featured in today's show were recorded in multiple versions, often by extraordinarily popular and influential artists of the time. And we will cover a few of those, of course. But with this show, I'm going to attempt to display, when I can, songs as performed in their earliest original versions by singers or artists who may not be as well remembered these days as some of the superstars. So one of the first tracks I want to pick up on, it's a perfect way to kick the show off, is a song that I'm sure you've heard of called Stormy Weather, written by Harold Arlen and Ted Kohler. What's interesting about the track, something that I didn't know until I started doing some research, is that the Cotton Club went on to adopt this song as one of their theme songs. It was around 1933, the Cotton Club went on the road, if you could imagine that. The entire cast of the Cotton Club started like traveling the country, playing in theaters in principal cities to spread what the Cotton Club, what was happening in New York at the Cotton Club in Harlem. And what they called it when they were on tour was the Stormy Weather Review, rather interestingly. So here is a version of Stormy Weather, performed by Leo Reisman's orchestra. They had the biggest hit with the record. And what really makes this super interesting is that the lead vocal is by the songwriter, Harold Arlen. So, Harold Arlen and Leo Reisman and his orchestra performing Stormy Weather. Thank you.
weather since my gal and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Life is bare, gloom and misery everywhere, stormy weather. Just can't get my poor self together. I'm weary all the time, the time. So weary all the time. When she went away, the blues walked in and met me. If she stays away, old rocking chair will get me. All I do is pray the Lord above will let me walk in the sun once more. Can't go on, everything I had is gone. Stormy weather, since my gal and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time, keeps raining all the time.
Songwriter himself singing on there, Harold Arlen performing a song that certainly qualifies as an extract from the Great American Songbook. Between that and the next track we're going to play is going to pretty much define what makes up our show. Stormy Weather, that probably qualifies as a perfect example of a torch song, meaning a song that you basically, if you're holding a torch for someone, somebody left you, you're dumped. You're brokenhearted. You can't get yourself together because you've been your heartbroken. That's a torch song.
Yes, as in the phrase, you're carrying a torch for somebody.
Right, which I still don't even know exactly what that means. What would you be carrying a
torch
for?
Because you're still hot for them. It's your fire. You have a flame in your heart.
Oh, okay, good. Never thought of it that way. It's a bit obvious, I suppose. Huh.
I'm glad I'm here to help.
They could have called it a heartburn song.
not as poetic sounding.
Definitely not. All right. Well, the other type of song that's going to, you know, make up part of the show is going to be like the stuff where you start to see the big band influence begin to creep in. Now, we played Cab Calloway with his version of Minnie the Moocher. I think that was just last week. But that made him hugely popular. In fact, you could probably say that Cab Calloway was the most famous Black performer of that era for the time. I mean, he didn't invent scat singing. I would imagine, I like to credit that to Louis Armstrong.
I was going to say that too.
Because I don't know of any other versions of anything earlier than Louis, because Louis was scatting as early as like 1922, 23 on his early records. But it was certainly Cab Calloway who popularized it. And everybody was a fan of him. He just became hugely well-known and famous and well-loved. Another guy who performed regularly at the Cotton Club. Now, there were dances that were happening all over the place, like the Jitterbug and the Lindy Hop, well, especially the Lindy Hop. But it was Cab Calloway who popularized the Jitterbug. Everybody's like, what is it? You know, where'd that come from? And it's really funny if you look at the etymological birth of the name, coming from basically, you know,
I've
jitter.
I've got my definition. Yeah, people are shaking.
Yeah, but the thing is, that word didn't exist in 1930.
Oh, yeah?
Nobody had the jitters.
Interesting.
It didn't exist. You'd have to go back. And in fact, one of the first references to it ever, it seems, is from a quote from a game that was in the New York Press, where they said there was a game played only after people take on too much gin and they arrive at a state of jitters, or what they were at the time were calling heebie-jeebies. So they made up the word jitters instead of heebie-jeebies. And the reason is a spoonerism. one of the popular drinks was gin and bitters.
I was going to say.
And if you got loaded, it became bin and jitters. And that is what basically caused jitters to come about. It was obviously associated with alcohol, with getting drunk, really. So, you know, Cab Calloway took that idea and built the song around it. And because he was such a crazy showman on stage, it led to a dance that professional dancers would come in and do the jitterbug. And it became really one of the most important dance crazes of not just the 30s. It continued throughout the entire big band era, where you'd get people to do these crazy rehearsed maneuvers on the dance floor. And it all goes back to right about this point with Cab Calloway and his own orchestra performing Jitterbug on 90.3 WHBC.
A jitterbug, first thing you must do is get a jug, put whiskey, wine, and gin within and shake it all up, and then begin. Grab a cup and start to toss. You are drinking jitter sauce. Don't you worry, you just mug and then you'll be a jitterbug. Hear this fat boy blowing his horn. He's been a bug since the day he was born. His favorite jitter sauce is rye. Swear, drink it till the day he die. Toot your whistle and ring your bell. Oh, butchie, butchie, time will tell. Don't you worry, you just smoke, you'll always be a jitterbug. These four boys playing saxophone, order jitter sauce by phone. Central, give me a holler 494. I think these bugs can drink some more. They drink sauce some more tonight, never stop until they're tight. Don't you worry, they just smoke, their four little jitterbugs. Now here's old father, a wicked old man, drinks more sauce than the other bugs can. He drinks jitter sauce every morn, that's why jitter sauce was born. See him shake with his trombone, just can't leave that sauce alone. Get along, father, you just smoke, you'll always be a jitterbug. As Rip there with his eyes a twinkle, we named him after Rip Van Winkle. Like Rip, he'd sweep for 20 years, if he could get his fill of beer. Rip drinks his sauce, gets on the stand, soon forgets that he's in the band. Don't awaken him, just let him bug, you'll always be a jitterbug. All bugs out, all bugs out. Yeah, man. Oh, little buggy jitterbug. Ah, the smallest jitterbug in the band.
Dipsomaniac.
It makes me laugh out loud. Cab Calloway. I don't know why that guy doesn't have a level of continued fame like a lot of the other swing bands of the era. He was a huge star in his time. The only reason I can guess is that so many of his hits are based around vocal performances, and a lot of people think of big band swing as being instrumental music. It's the only thing I can think of that to make any sense of it. But, I mean, a song, you could just tell why that song would be incredibly cool in its time. I mean, drinking in public is allegedly illegal, unless you're in a private club or a private home. And that's,
oh, because of prohibition?
Right. And uh-huh. Now you've got, you know, this whole thing, basically, a song that's all about booze from soup to nuts. The whole song, every line is a joke. A good one, too. Very clever. Really clever song. Jitterbug. Song that kicked off the dance craze. This is speaking of dance craze, this is something else that I did not know until recently, that in the United States, when by the time World War II rolled around, because they needed to pay for the war in 1944, things were looking very dire. The fighting aged men, most of them are overseas fighting for the country. And it was money needed to be raised to pay for the war effort. So the government, I did not know this, they started a 30% federal excise tax against dancing nightclubs. If you had a nightclub where people went to dance, you'd have to pay 30% of a tax rate to allow it. And eventually they reduced it to around 20%, but no club owner wanted to pay it, of course. So they all put signs up that said no dancing allowed all over their clubs around that time. And if you think about it, this is right about the same time that the big band craze started to fade away. And all of a sudden you have jazz coming up, cool jazz coming up and hep jazz, basically, where everybody's sitting down and watching the bands play. So it was a significant change. Just thought I'd mention that because of the jitterbug dance craze and all that. All right, we're talking about going back and forth from sweet to swinging. Here's a sweet track. The song, I know you know it because there was a huge version of it by the Flamingos. A song called I Only Have Eyes for You. I think the Flamingos hit was in the late 50s in the rock and roll era. But the song dates all the way back to 1934. The songwriter was Harry Warren, the lyrics by Al Dubin. It was written for a movie called Dames. And one of the hit versions of the song was by a guy named Lou Sherwood. He was another one of the stars who performed at the Cotton Club. Worked with people like Eddie Duchin. We'll get back to him in a little bit. So here is Lou Sherwood performing I Only Have Eyes for You. Thank you. original version of the song, and it's not so terribly different from the way that it eventually developed over the years. I mean, of course, when the Flamingos got a hand of it and suddenly took the song into outer space, it became something significantly different. It was interesting, as I remember, because there was mixed feelings about, you know, having these songs being put in the hands of some of these younger artists. But that version by the Flamingos lives on quite well. Now, our next artist is probably the king of what you would call, you know, sweet music or the sweet bands. He got his start. I mean, you don't get much sweeter than if you are discovered by Guy Lombardo. And that's pretty much exactly what happened with Freddie Martin. He was a talented tenor sax player and would lead a band. And it was Guy Lombardo who heard him playing. And in fact, Guy, even at one point when he couldn't make certain obligations, he would ask Freddie Martin to take his place. And things went very well for him. And that's how Freddie Martin eventually got started and got his reputation as a player and as an orchestra leader. He would be around for years. This track, of course, we're talking about right now, we're in the mid-30s. The song that he's playing here is a song that he performs around 1934, 1935. Composed by Vernon Duke, lyrics by Yip Harburg. It's called April in Paris by Freddie Martin.
A warm embrace till April in Paris. Whom can I run to? What have you done to my heart?
Interesting fun facts about Freddie Martin. First of all, I mean, in his time, in the 30s especially, he was a fixture on the radio. You'd hear him all over the place. He was he had a show called Maybelline Penthouse Serenade that he was a regular performer on. And if you were attending the movies, really, this goes right on up until, in some sense, to the present day, but they've changed it the way it works in the past 20 or 30 years, I suppose. But if you walked into a movie theater, they were always very elegant looking in the 30s and 40s, even in the 50s movies. They were always meant to be look elegant. And there would always be music playing in the background in movie theaters, instrumentals. It was almost never vocals. You would just hear this instrumental music that would go by while you were waiting for the theater to grow dark and the movie to begin. Almost all of that stuff was recorded by Freddie Martin.
Wow.
He was the guy that did all of those instrumental tracks that were, they called them special theater use only releases.
Wow.
And that was him. Another interesting thing about him, later in life, he was having success by doing suite versions of classical music. He would come up with things with like Peter and the Wolf that he would record, and other songs that he adapted from themes by Tchaikovsky and Rachmaninoff. And one of the things that he came up with was a track called A Lover's Concerto, which was eventually in the 60s a big hit for a group called The Toys. So that goes back to Freddie Martin. If you thought that that was a Toys arrangement or so, no. It goes all the way back to Freddie. Well, one person that we've been talking about a lot in this series, from part one right on up here until part five, is Paul Whiteman. He's undeniable with his presence as a superstar of the times. And this is a song that I know you know, called Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. And what's interesting about this is that the very first recording of the song was by a woman named Gertrude Neeson. And it was forgotten. It didn't really sell well. But what's interesting about it is that it was recorded by Ray Sinatra and his orchestra. Ray was Frank's second cousin. So a very short-lived fame for Frank's second cousin, Ray. The first hit recording was by Paul Whiteman. Had a huge number one hit with this version in the mid-30s of the song Smoke Gets in Your Eyes.
My love. Now, laughing friends deride. Tears I cannot hide. So I smile and say, when a lovely flame dies, smoke gets in your eyes.
Another song that perfectly qualifies as a torch song, and one of my favorite. I think it's one of the most well written.
Stop crying.
Well, yeah, that's what makes that song so clever. When when your heart's on fire, you must realize smoke gets in your eyes. It's like to cover up your tracks of your tears.
Yes.
It's like goes, you know, this whole Smokey Robinson thing, but done with incredible panache, the way it's written by lyricist Otto Harbach. Now, in the late 50s, the rock and roll era, just like the previous track we played, couple tracks back, I Only Have Eyes for You by the Flamingos, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes was covered by the Platters. And Otto Harbach was still alive, and he praised the Platters, saying that and thanked them for reviving his song with taste. But the music writer, Jerome Kern, he passed away. But his widow hated the recording so much that she was considering taking legal action to prevent the record from being distributed.
Oh, my.
She hated it that much.
That's sad.
Really sad. Because in its time, I mean, the Platters probably seemed incredibly modern. But I don't even think the Platters would consider themselves to be rock and roll. You know, so they were just on that cusp of representing a youthful way of bringing older music like this back to life again.
Right.
Carrying on the great American songbook tradition, really, rather beautifully, too. And an interesting story. All right. We're talking about a little bit about sweet artists. I got yet another one for you. This one is Eddie Duchin. As I said, Eddie Duchin was the band leader that would sometimes feature Lou Sherwood. And they had one of the first hits with this track, another Harold Arlen song, who opened our show with him. He was singing, because he had written the song, Stormy Weather. This is one of his, too. It's called Let's Fall in Love on 90.3 WHPC.
Shouldn't we fall in love? Our hearts are made of it. Let's take a chance. Why be afraid of it? Let's close our eyes and make our own paradise. Little we know of it, still we can try to make a go of it. We might have been meant for each other to be or not to be. Let our hearts discover. Let's fall in love. Why shouldn't we fall in love? Now is the time for it while we are young. let's fall in love.
With his orchestra performing Let's Fall in Love. Another perfect example of the sweet band music that was very popular at the stage in time. I mean, what was happening in this instance, of course, is that they're trying, it's the age-old story. Some music trying to appeal across age lines, while the swing bands were appealing to the youth. Basically, everybody 24 or younger. It was music that was aimed at them. Tommy Dorsey and the Clam Bake 7 is a perfect example of a band that was part of the swing band the swing band scene. And you know, it's even a really cool name to this day. You
yes.
know, the Clam Bake 7. Wow, that's pretty awesome. Edith Wright was their vocalist, and it's Edith Wright who is performing this version of a song about big band swing music called The Music Goes Round and Round.
For me. Oh, I don't know how to play nothing.
Well, I'll show you now. Oh, you blow through here, the music goes down and around. Whoa, ho, 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 when it comes out here. Now push the first valve down, the music goes down and around. Whoa, ho, 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 when it comes out here. Now push the middle valve down, hear that music go down and around. Below, below, deal it, ho, ho, ho. Music go down and around, whoa, ho, 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 when it comes out here. Hey, Tommy, what's he got there?
Well, that's a clarinet, Edith.
What's he doing with it?
He's trying to show you how the music goes around and around.
Oh, he can't show me how the music goes around and around on a straight instrument.
Ouch. Kick it, Sid, kick it.
Boy, he can kick it for my money.
Christmas chorus, and we want you all to join in lightly on this last refrain.
Oh, I blow through here, the music goes round and around, whoa, 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 and it comes up here. Now you push the first valve down, the music goes down and around, whoa, 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 and it comes up here. Now push that middle valve down, hear the music go down and around. Below, 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 whoa, 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 whoa. music goes round and around. Oh, 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 and it comes up here.
Surprise ending.
Very cool. Now, there they are basically taking trad jazz and souping it up a little bit to make it hip for the crowd. That's Edith Wright. And what I love about that is that she is sort of like the first woman really to end up having that really sort of female cool sound. It eventually Peggy Lee would do it. Heidi, you mentioned Keeley Smith. Perfect example. Right into the rock and roll era, Debbie Harry had that same sort of a vibe about what she was doing when she was performing.
Yes.
A little bit tongue-in-cheek, you know, a little trying to be a little bit cute and funny and wry at the same time, all of that. Now, we started the show when we were talking earlier. I mentioned that there was a huge connection, of course, between radio and television and the movies. I shouldn't say television, excuse me, between radio and the movies. And this song is a perfect example. It was written by Irving Berlin for a film called Top Hat to be performed by Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, who in turn became incredible radio stars, having their songs performed constantly. This recording is Fred Astaire with the Leo Reisman Orchestra once again. So we keep hearing the same, like Leo Reisman, he's really the star of the show today. In a lot of ways, his name keeps popping up.
True.
And yet he's one of those people that he was just enough in the background that we tend to forget how important he would have been in his time, which is why I personally am really happy to be doing this series, because it makes me realize certain things that I might not have been able to put together if we didn't do exactly what we are doing. So I'm learning something here too. Here's Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers performing Cheek to Cheek, the hit written by Irving Berlin in 1935 on 90.3.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Heaven, I'm in heaven, and the cares that hung around me through the week seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to climb a mountain and to reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Dance with me, I want my arm about you, the charm about you will carry me through to heaven. I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
Thank you. obviously fabulous Benny Goodman on that track, which is called, Let's Dance. Obviously, we go from Sweet to Swing there. Track before that with Fred Astaire doing the rather sweet version of Cheek to Cheek, and Benny teaching the kids how to dance again, of course, with Let's Dance. I want to play, Benny Goodman's band had a great drummer. Gene Krupa. There's so much that could be said about him. I mean, not only the drum battles that he did with Buddy Rich, which
so
must have been, right, so famous for both of them, but I mean, it would have been very hard for anybody to do that with Buddy Rich, because Buddy Rich is one of the most competitive men in the universe, and and he's unbeatable. He really is. But Gene Krupa was a strong player. He had a really great sense of he was able to hit his drums. And anybody who plays a kit today owes an awful lot of the ingenuity about how a drum kit works to Gene Krupa, working with people like Slingerland and Zildjian to perfect the cymbals as we use them to this day, and taking ideas that were basically originally started in New Orleans, where a drummer would play a snare just like a marching snare, and a bass drummer would play a bass drum just like a marching bass drum, which they still do to this day in marching bands in New Orleans. But when the recording era happened, they were trying to figure out ways to, how do you do both? What if one guy, so you'd figure out a way to put the bass drum on the ground, strike it with a pedal, and put the snare drum on a stand so you could sit in front of it and do both. That was the basis of it, which really, like I said, that really began to get developed in New Orleans, but it was Gene Krupa who started to perfect it. He was the drummer in Benny Goodman's band, and since Benny's talking about swing, about how Let's Dance, maybe we ought to let Gene Krupa tell us that swing is here on 90.3.
Thank you.
We start with Benny Goodman, and then there's a protege of his, the drummer, Gene Krupa, with Swing Is Here. All right, we've been going back and forth between sweet and swing, so we can maybe tie it up, wrap up the show with something which sort of brings them all together. It's a song written by a man named Billy Mayhew called It's a Sin to Tell a Lie. There were a whole bunch of versions of it, but one of the most, including, this is odd, there was a Cajun version of this song that came out in French by Cléoma Bro, if you could imagine that. Probably popular in, I guess, in the Louisiana area. But the most popular version was by songwriter Fats Waller. Here he is performing It's a Sin to Tell a Lie. Take care, folks. Have a great weekend.
Sin to tell a lie. Billions of hearts have been broken, yes, yes. Just because these words were spoken. You know the words that were spoken? Here it is. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Yes, but if you break my heart, I'll break your jaw and then I'll die. So be sure it's true when you say I love you. It's a sin to tell a lie. Now get on out there and tell your lie. What is it?
Ninety point three double.